Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Astrology Now podcast. My name is Christine Rodriguez, and on this segment, we are going to talk about Vedic astrology and how our birth chart, understanding the houses, will give us information into organs, body parts, potential health issues related to the houses. And so medical astrology, of course, is a robust and vast topic and science in and of itself. And I thought it would be interesting just to boil things down and at a very simplistic level, talk about the houses in Vedic astrology and the body parts, the organs, and again, potential health issues that can be associated with each of the houses. I want to remind you all again, here on Astrology Now, we use the Vedic sidereal system of astrology, so it is different than Western tropical. So I usually will sit down to record these podcasts with inspiration. Usually I'm going throughout my week, I have a topic in mind, I think about it, and then when I sit down to record, I'm like, yes, this is what we're going to talk about. I woke up today, it's Thursday, it's the day before I release the podcast, and I just didn't know what to talk about. I was like, I could talk about the news, but people get enough of the news. And speaking of which, if you're not signed up for my newsletter, you can go to my website, innerknowing.yoga. And on the homepage, there's a place for you to drop your email address if you'd like to subscribe. I've started paying a lot more attention to my newsletter. I'm off of social media. And so I've gotten this inspiration to share about current events and making sense of the news using Vedic astrology. So I'm excited about it. I'm going to be sending a lot more newsletters. If you're interested, sign up. But all of that to say, on Patreon, on the newsletter, I've been talking about the news and media, and I was like, oh, I don't want to do more of that. And I was like, you know, I decided I was going to go on a run. So I went on a run around Town Lake, and I'm running, and I'm thinking about things to talk about, and nothing really feels that inspirational, which is not super typical for me. Messaged my best friend, one of my best friends. I'm like, hey, what should I talk about? She's like, oh man, I don't know. So I was like, man. So I got home and I was making myself something to eat, and I came to learn that my boyfriend's mother, who I adore, we adore, fell on glass and sliced her hand and sliced muscles in her hand, and she's going to have to get surgery. And so I learned of this, and I was just like, oh my gosh, that's awful. Naturally, I pull up her birth chart and I message my boyfriend. I was like, hey, was it her left hand by chance? And he was like, yep. And I was like, yep. When we have an understanding of how planets operate in Vedic astrology and how the houses operate in Vedic astrology, these types of things become quite easy to see. Sometimes things are very difficult to see. Sometimes you have to be a little bit of a detective, but as you learn more, as you gain experience, these things become quite obvious. And I'm sure that so many of you have had these experiences as well. But, you know, regardless, hopefully this podcast offers a little bit of new information. And if you're newer to astrology, hopefully this podcast offers a lot of information. And I do just, so anyway, that's what inspired this podcast, because I thought it was so fascinating to see it so blatantly there in the birth chart. And so again, in this podcast, we are going to speak specifically about the houses and what the houses represent in terms of the organs and body parts. And perhaps if y'all are interested in the future, we can do the planets, or, you know, how planetary afflictions can cause health issues. I've done a few case studies like this on Patreon. It's something that's actually very, very interesting to me. I am by no means a master of medical astrology, far from it. If y'all are familiar with Dr. Nabodi, he's one of my favorite Ayurvedic practitioners, and he has studied medical astrology. And so he perhaps, you know, could teach everybody a lot. And I have done quite a bit of extensive research in medical astrology. So again, I would not consider myself a master, and I definitely, you know, I've spent a lot of time looking at these things. And so first of all, with astrology, because with knowledge comes responsibility. And so when we have an understanding of medical astrology, it's really important not to jump to conclusions or use it as a method to induce fear in ourselves or in other people. And there are acute things that happen with transits where we're running a certain transit, we're running a certain dasha, and boom, something happens. It's acute. You know, we move through it. Hopefully there's no long-term impact. And then there are the more chronic conditions. And it really just depends on our birth chart if things are going to be more acute or more chronic, but then also what types of things we're going to be prone to, what types of health issues we're going to be prone to, if we're going to be accident prone. I was talking to one of my best friends the other day, and she was telling me about how her little brother has just had so many accidents throughout life. She's like, I can't explain it. He's been in a car wreck. He's had like his appendix rupture. Like, she's listed all these things that have happened to him where he had to be hospitalized. And it's just like, oh my gosh. And she's never, right? Great health, never had accidents, not accident prone. So we can see one's proneness to certain types of events, but it doesn't necessarily mean there won't be an outlying event. So for example, you might be prone to digestive issues. It doesn't mean that because you're prone to digestive issues that you're immune to falling and cutting your hand, right? So I'm sharing all of that because this is a very complex and nuanced topic. And you have to look at things quite carefully. And usually, you know, when we're looking at the birth chart with the houses and the planets, we'll be able to tell the kind of ongoing things people are going to be working with, what they're going to be prone to getting. And then with the transits, that's more of the like acute stuff that comes up that you have to deal with. And so again, hopefully, you know, if any of you out there have a habit of sending positive energy or prayer, taking a little time to send my partner's mother a little bit of good energy would be so appreciated. So kind of jumping in here, I do hope, I know I just kind of spoke in a circular pattern perhaps, but hopefully it all made sense. So let's go ahead and talk about the houses. And again, I just want to reiterate that we want to look at the houses, we want to look at the planets, we want to look at the aspects, we want to look at the condition of the planet. So what I'm sharing today is incredibly simple. The information that we're talking about today is very, very simple. We cannot make big assumptions based off of this information alone. Again, I know some of you are seasoned astrologers, you know this already, and some of us may be new. We may be coming into this for the first time. And so I just want to remind everybody that every interpretation in Vedic astrology should be done holistically, and it should be done quite carefully, especially with health, because it's such a sensitive topic. So the first house in Vedic astrology is very important because it represents our longevity in general. The first house is going to give us information into our overall wellness, our, again, like our longevity, our vitality, our energy levels. The first house also has to do with our appearance. It has a strong influence on our body type. It has to do with our complexion and the type of skin that we have. And I like to think of the chart as like a body. And so it's a little hard to describe because I don't have an image in front of us to see. But essentially, when we first enter the world, the first thing that typically comes out is our head. And so this is the first house. So it represents like the top of the head, hair. I've always said that if someone has a lot of hot planets on the ascendant, like Mars or the sun, they're a little bit more prone to things like hair loss. So the first house is like the top of the head. It has to do with the skull of the native. And so some people will say that the first house is the face. And I actually think that the second house is the face. And so we'll get into that. But I think the first house, again, overall constitution, physical vitality, has to do with the top of the head, the hair. The first house is also associated to the brain as well and brain health. So that is, of course, monumentally important. The first house is also our earliest experiences. It's like our first experiences in the world. And so if somebody has K2 on the ascendant, This is one of my favorite placements. Someone has K2 on the ascendant. They kind of came into this world like a K2 person. They're kind of like otherworldly. They're not of this realm. So they may be kind of like outcast, or they may feel a little lonely or out of place, but they usually end up being very intuitive, emotional, sensitive, spiritual little beings. So the planets on the ascendant, it's going to have an impact on those things I just noted. So if someone has Venus on the ascendant, maybe they just have a beautiful overall complexion. They may have beautiful hair. You know, maybe they had a relatively lovely introduction into the world. Again, we want to look at everything, but it could suggest that. If somebody has moon on the ascendant, it could, again, the moon is rounder and it's softer. There could be a softness to the complexion, a glowing element to the complexion. So you want to see those planets on the ascendant. It is going to have an impact on the first house matters. So the second house is quite interesting. The second house is actually a very dense house. We're not going to go super, super far into the second house, but the second house is quite dense. The second and the seventh are. But just again, kind of sticking to the more superficial qualities, the second house represents the right eye. And so when I was mentioning that I view the chart kind of as a body, if you look at the first house, it's like the top of the head, and then on either side of the first house, the second house is the right eye, the 12th house is the left eye. So I think it's kind of interesting how that can work. So the second house, again, represents specifically the right eye and the health of the right eye. It represents the throat. It represents the neck. The second house is associated to the second sign, which is Taurus. So there is this association to the throat and the neck. The second house is going to govern the teeth and gums, mouth health in general. Second house, of course, is also the voice and singing ability, how one's voice sounds. So if somebody has beautiful planets in the second house, they may have a beautiful voice. They may have really beautiful teeth. They may have a very beautiful smile. It could also be if somebody has more rough planets in the second house, they may be a little bit more sharp, penetrating, cutting. Their voice may be a little more, you know, depending on the planet, it could be more hypnotic. It could be rougher. You know, all of us have heard voices that are rough, right? So there can absolutely be placements that create that. So if you hear someone and you notice that their voice is particularly sweet or maybe a little raspy, which can also be really beautiful, or there's just something unique about the voice, check out their second house and see what's going on with that. And planets in the second can cause those teeth and gum issues. So if you've struggled with teeth issues throughout your life, you want to quite carefully look at the second and track that for transits, because depending on the transit, that may bring some of those teeth issue up. And teeth health is very important. You know, more and more research is coming out about the importance of dental hygiene and the health of the mouth. And some of the information from Chinese medicine in regards to which organs the teeth are associated with, it's fascinating stuff. I highly recommend looking into it if you have not yet already. And the second house also has to do with the type of food and like beverages we consume, or really just anything we consume through our mouth. And so though that's not directly like health, it does relate directly to health, right? So it can give us insight into if someone has a sweet tooth, if someone prefers more hot food, savory food, things like that. So the third house represents the nervous system. And I think that this is interesting because the third house has to do with bravery and courage. And when we have nerves of steel, we can do brave things. If our nerves get shot easily, it's a little bit more challenging to public speak, right? Because the third house is also public speaking, being on stage, being confident in ourselves. That's a strong nervous system, you know? And it also has to do with The third house has to do with some risky stuff. Some of my skydiving friends, they'll have these like really strong third houses. It's courage. It's bravery. It requires those strong nerves. So the third house represents one's connection to the nervous system. It also represents hands and arms in general. And this is where things can get a little tricky, because the third house does represent traditionally arms and hands in general. And the 11th house, the house opposite to it, I have seen induce issues with the left arm, left hand. So third house, traditionally, it represents arms and hands. And I would definitely encourage you all to assess the 11th house for the left arm and the left hand as well. The third house is going to represent the right ear. And it also is like shoulders and collarbones. So if someone is having like I got into a car wreck and I had this really bad collarbone pain. And I still have this thing where sometimes I'll like stretch in a certain way and my collarbone will just pop. And it started after that car wreck. So collarbone injuries, shoulder injuries, they can be seen from the third house. But again, the third house also has an association to longevity. So the third house is also quite a dense house. The nerves, you know, is a big deal. But the third house, I'll also say, has a lot to do with one's will to live. The third house is all about willpower. It's courageousness. It's that courage, you know, to keep going. I believe I talked about that on Patreon quite extensively with one of my friends who survived cancer and having this incredibly powerful third house. So though there was this experience, you know, with cancer, there was this really deep, powerful force in the chart that helped them work through it. So the fourth house is breasts. It has to do with lungs. It's the chest. You know, fourth house is like associated to cancer. So it's like nourishment. So it's literally associated to breasts and like the chest region. Fourth house, I would also say, is the heart. Some astrologers say that the fifth house is the heart. Throughout my time studying and throughout time doing case studies, when I've seen sudden heart issues or heart attacks, I have seen a consistency with an association to the fourth. So I would also say that the heart is the fourth house. I'm trying to think of anything else. The fourth house is going to be the mother's health for our birth charts. So if we're assessing our own birth chart, we can track the health of our parent, or, you know, the mother figure. So the fifth house has an association to the spine. So we want to track the fifth house for spinal issues. Represents the liver, spleen, and from what I've seen, the pancreas as well. The sixth house is the digestive system. But the thing about the sixth house, and I should say just one more thing about the fifth. I know that we're talking specifically about like health, but it's also children and it's also conception. So though, of course, there's so much that we need to look at in a birth chart if we're assessing fertility, when one may conceive, you know, odds of conception, things like that. The fifth house is going to be important to consider. Of course, Venus is very important too. Venus is the fertility, the potency of fertility in a birth chart is Venus. So the sixth house is the overall digestive system. And I think this is super interesting because the sixth house is the digestive system and also health in general. The sixth house represents health and wellness. In the Vedic philosophy, Agni is the digestive fire. And the whole premise of Ayurveda is, are we digesting our food properly? Are we digesting food that is appropriate for us? Is it being integrated through the body appropriately? Is it being assimilated through the body? And all of that's going to determine on our digestion. And so if we're not digesting properly, if we're having a hard time assimilating our sustenance, our health is going to suffer. So I think it's interesting to draw that parallel. And I mean, more and more research is coming out about gut health and how important gut health is. And I mean, I'm about to go on a tangent. I'm going to try to keep this short. But so much is coming out about gut health and how the majority of our serotonin is produced in the gut. And so if our gut is not functioning properly, we're not going to be producing serotonin as we should be, meaning we're going to feel depressed. And then, you know, if we're adding things into our gut lining, artificial things or chemicals or whatever, it's just going to continue to disrupt that. So, you know, this natural approach of healing the gut and trying to check in and see, you know, how things are balanced and if we're consuming foods that are appropriate for us and healthy for us and consuming enough water and all of that. And of course, addressing if there are parasites or candida overgrowth, just checking in, making sure the gut lining is healthy and happy, that's going to promote the proper production of serotonin. And so that's amazing to me. It's very, very interesting. The sixth house also has an association to stress and how stressed out we are. It has to do with like phobias and paranoia. I would say the eighth house does too. So when we're talking about mental health, that's a whole other animal. But I would say right off the bat, 12th house, eighth house, sixth house, they're going to be pretty big players, but that's, again, a whole other topic. We would want to talk extensively about the moon and all of that. Maybe we'll do another podcast. I actually had somebody request that recently, so maybe we'll do mental health at some point. That's an interesting conversation. So digestive system is the sixth, the large intestine, the colon, you know, anything that's acute also, like acute illness is going to be associated to the sixth house. We are talking about being prone to things, having a proneness to accidents and injuries can be seen from the sixth house. The sixth house is the house of accidents, injuries, obstacles, opposition. And it's also one's interest in health and wellness, one's interest to support others. So a strong sixth house could show a nurse or a social worker, a veterinarian, a doctor, someone in defense, like a police or military, someone who helps us overcome enemies and obstacles and opposition. So the sixth house, you know, we have to look at it in totality. If somebody has this super packed sixth house, you want to look at it carefully because it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to have these acute health issues throughout the life. I mean, you want to look at it. It could also indicate that you're really fascinated with helping other people. I remember I had a reading not too long ago. This person had this really powerful sixth house and they were really interested in helping and healing people with herbs and herbalism and supporting people naturally. I think it was Sagittarius. I think they were a Sagittarius rising, I think they were a Cancer rising and all these plants were in Sagittarius. But anyway, let's go ahead and move on to the seventh house. So the seventh house is the sex organs. It's usually seen as the external sex organs, whereas the eighth house is the internal sex organs. So the seventh house can have an association with, again, the external sex organ. And it has to do with the lower back, as well as the adrenal system and the kidneys. So the seventh house is associated to the seventh sign, which is Libra. And Libra and Venus in the seventh house, they all kind of have this connection to kidneys. So kidney health can be associated from the seventh house too. The eighth house is, you know, the house down under, if you will. It is indeed the inner sex organs. It has to do with like STDs, venereal illnesses or diseases, has to do with the anus as well. The rectum, the scrotum, things of that nature, has to do with the pelvis, and the prostate gland as well can be seen with the eighth house. So all that stuff. Now, the eighth house also has to do with long-term illnesses. So the sixth house is typically acute illnesses, whereas the eighth house is more chronic health issues. But we really do, again, we need to see everything that's going on in the chart. I've had many clients, many friends with strong eighth houses who don't have crazy illnesses. I can think of like five friends off the top of my head. So if you have a strong eighth house, don't let that freak you out. So the ninth house typically has to do with the hips, the thighs, and joints. Super interesting stuff. I had a friend who needed like an early hip replacement, and she had an afflicted ninth house, which I thought was really interesting. So there, again, the ninth house can be associated to the thighs and the hips and that region. And again, the ninth house can have this association to joints. I'm trying to think if there's anything else that I want to say in regards to the ninth house. I think that's a pretty good, you know, minor summary, but the ninth house is associated to the ninth house, the ninth sign of Sagittarius. And so there can also be like this expansive energy to it. And so if there are issues with like edema or like pooling of fluids or swelling, there could be an association with the ninth. The 10th house represents knees. For sure, I have seen this over and over and over again, where the 10th house has an association to the knees, and it can also be associated to bones in general. The 11th house, I should also say the 10th house has an association to longevity in a positive way. The 11th house is representative of the calves and the ankles. Now, it's also the left ear. Remember, we talked about the third house being the right ear. The 11th house being opposite, it's the left ear. So it's kind of interesting, right? We have the first house and then we have an eye on either side. The right eye is the second, left eye is the 12th, right ear is the third, left ear is the 11th. So you're kind of like going down the body. It is the left arm, I believe the left hand as well. And it can also have an association to circulation. The 11th house I've just seen to be like so uncanny when it's associated to like the lower legs and ankles and again like the left arm and left hand. The 12th house represents the left eye, as we've been mentioning. It is the 12th house. It's associated to the 12th sign of Pisces. Pisces and the 12th house can have an association to the lymphatic system and both have an association to the feet. Now, the 12th house is also the psychic space. So it has this association to mental restlessness or lack thereof. It also has to do with sleep. So one's sleep health, the ability to rest. It is a sign of charity. So one's desire to take care of and serve other people. But it's also the house of hospitalizations and being in isolated places. So there can be this association with like needing to go to the hospital or, you know, needing to be admitted for some reason. With the 12th, and again, when it comes to like psychic space or mental issues, perhaps, there can be a strong 12th house influence there. So those are the 12 houses and what the 12 houses represent in Vedic astrology. And again, to add to that, we also have the planets and everything that the planets represent. We would want to look at aspects. We'd want to look at dignity of the planets to assess if someone's going to have health issues and what those health issues might be. But for all of us, when we're experiencing certain transits, we may be prone to health issues regarded to the transit and the house. Okay, so for example, if you have an afflicted Mars in your 11th house. 11th house is the ankles. And if Saturn is transiting Cancer, so let's just say you have a debilitated Mars. Mars is in the sign of Cancer. It's in the 11th house. If and when Saturn transits the sign of Cancer, you might be a little bit more prone to Mars-related issues and to 11th house-related issues, like maybe an ankle issue, a lower leg issue, left arm, left hand, those types of things. So hopefully that example is helpful. I can think of another one for you all. If, you know, transits to the sixth house, if you're having like an intense transit to the sixth, like Rahu or Ketu transiting the sixth, if you already have planets in the sixth, it might bring up some digestive stuff. It might bring up little health things to take care of. It could also mean becoming obsessed with our health and wanting to get healthier and wanting to get stronger because the sixth house represents health in general. With the second house is easy. when we have negative transits to the second house, it could represent having teeth issue come up, having gum issues come up. Now, also, if we're thinking about doing any types of like plastic surgery or enhancing our face or enhancing our teeth or our lips or mouth or whatever, having positive transits to the second house is going to help encourage and support that. So I do hope this was helpful. I hope that you found it interesting. Again, if you would like to sign up for my newsletter, you can go to innerknowing.yoga. My Instagram that I'm not currently on is astrologynow_podcast. And my Patreon account where I do weekly horoscopes for all 12 signs is patreon.com/astrologynowpodcast. Again, my name is Christine Rodriguez. This is Astrology Now. Thank you so much.